Well, David, nice to see your face again. We took a couple of weeks off for the holiday, but I think the only way to get Business Beat going again is to start talking, revisiting some of the people that we met before COVID started. So who's going to be on the show today, David?
We are excited to welcome back Peter DeCaro from Resonate on Millbrook Street in Worcester, a cannabis, medical cannabis dispensary opening for adult use on Friday, and our friend Deb Colometta, who is an inspiration to those of us that have a ton of stuff in the house that we need to get rid of. She's written a great book. We had her on a few months ago discussing how to free yourself of the junk in your house and make money doing so. And I think people will be psyched to hear this. It's if you spent the last 3 or 4 months stuck at home and going, what am I going to do with this stuff and all your home projects? Deb's the woman you want to talk to.
I think that's funny for both things. Number one, there's been a rise in interest in both of these things due to COVID. Yes. Not in spite of COVID, due to COVID. Yeah. I think people are like, you're right. You're looking at that like, why do I have this lamp? Why do I have this couch? You know, and then I think, and then the other side of it is like, why am I so stressed out? So I think this is going to be a great show about catching up with people who we met before. And this is going to be a nice comparison and contrast. And for the next several weeks, we are going to revisit some of our guests and check in with them and see how they're going. So I guess let's just jump right into it. Yeah.
All right. We are very pleased to welcome back to Business Beat Pete DeCaro from Resonate. Resonate open in Millbury for medical patients. This Friday, tomorrow, is your special day because you are opening for the first time for adult use. So big news. It's exciting to see business growth in this current environment that we're in. So welcome back, Pete. It's good to see you again.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be back. It's been a fun ride.
I bet it has. Well,
I appreciate your candor there, but I'm imagining that this has been a hell ride because you're a investment-oriented startup technology / medical / COVID-19 situation. Probably the perfect storm for any business, and you're right in front of me right now, so I know you made it through this part. So let's talk about your journey.
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride. So March 24th, we were allowed to commence operations for medical use at the 1191 Millbury Street location in Worcester. And as we all recall, that was basically the day that Governor Baker issued the shelter in place order. So, you know, it is one thing to open a store. It's another thing to open under those circumstances. That was a bit of a challenge, but I have to say, you know, we sat in the war room as a management team and we talked about this and we said, look, you know, is this really the socially responsible thing to do, right? We had to start there. Did it make sense for us to open? And would we potentially be putting patients at risk and down the road consumers at risk for, you know, exposure to the pandemic? The interesting thing was, for anyone that's been here already, our store is significantly large. So we're about 7,000 square feet of retail space. So actually, the answer to that question for us was kind of a no-brainer. We said, look, we can probably do this better than most. So we felt that it was almost within our responsibility to open, to create that safe environment for patients and consumers. And we did so. And I have to tell you that, like, knock on wood, we've been infection free. We've been able to effectively adhere to all the regulations that the state has put forth. So yeah, it certainly created challenges. I mean, rolling out things like home delivery and curbside service and online ordering in week one of opening was probably not the easiest. We had to shift some priorities without a doubt, but by the end of that first week, we were happy to say that we rolled out our online ordering on our website. We rolled it out on sites like Leafly and Weed Maps. We did that effectively. The Cannabis Control Commission responded very quickly to our ability to start home deliveries. So I think that took about another week, but we've been doing home deliveries for patients now for over a month, and that's been fantastic. And then lastly, in the store, the in-store experience has still been great. We're still seeing regular traffic, but being kind of off a little bit off the beaten path on Millbury Street in Worcester, we have ample parking, we have ample waiting lines. So like the social distancing requirements and hygiene, like that's all been something that we could execute quickly and effectively. So look, none of us clearly wanted to be, you know, subjected to these rules and regulations, but I think that we've made about the best, you know, out of it that we could have made out of it. So
I'm happy to hear that the size of your facility is obviously a big play here, because what we're seeing now with some of the shows that we've already done now is that people have to transform their offices and their places of business now to be compliant. And it's not just about being compliant for now. We have been saying from the very beginning that we're not ever going back. And so social distancing in line when you're purchasing a product isn't a bad thing. It's not a, I never liked it when somebody was breathing down my neck at CVS, right? So do I mind having a couple extra feet? No, I don't. Do I like curbside service? Yes, I do. Home delivery would change things for me as well. So why do any of these things have to change? So these investments that we've made in dealing with the pandemic actually turn out to be long-term good business decisions to serve your customer.
I couldn't agree more. You know, just as we're reopening the state, and I'm sure, you know, like you, I mean, I've been out to restaurants and, you know, I've observed a lot of the protocols that, you know, the restaurant industry has been forced to go through. And I think while challenging, there's certainly some benefits. The online ordering component of it has been extremely convenient. It's changing the whole idea of having a waiter, waitress, server, et cetera, you know, coming to your table. But I think that there are benefits here that that opened a lot of people's eyes. I mean, I think so even as it pertains to the educational field. There are things here that we can take away from it. So, you know, this has certainly been something that's heightened our sensitivity towards, you know, airborne illnesses. But I agree with you. I think that there's just a lot of positive outcomes that have come out of it. And I think that we do have to keep our eye on the ball on what's next. You know, how can we continue to improve these processes and procedures? How do we continue to make it better for patients and consumers to come in? I mean, that there's no reason to take our foot off the gas.
How do you adjust, with all the adjustments you've made in the past 3 months already, how do you further adjust and still maintain the good practices and the service that you provide now and fit that into accommodating adult use consumers that are going to be able to show up starting Friday and want to come in and peruse and see, you know, it is a big store. There's a lot to look at. There's a lot of accessories to take in. How do you accommodate those folks?
Well, you know, we've had to do a few things like remove some of the seating areas and things along those lines to create a little bit more space. And that's also part of the reopening, you know, checklist that, you know, is part of the state regulations. Our social distancing lines, I mean, we'll continue to space those out both inside and outside of the store. For our med patients, we have a completely separate area of the store. We do have several entrances and areas of egress that we have entertained the idea that if we do need to potentially create a different location for patients to enter the store and exit that would keep them completely isolated from the general public, we can do that. We think that with curbside, with home delivery, with the distancing, the line, the space that we have just in entering the store, we're very confident that we're going to be able to execute on this strategy.
All right. Well, I mean, these all sound like great things. These all sound like really important aspects of it. Let's talk about culturally. It's a different world now than where we were. How are you guys embracing that?
You know, I have to tell you, that's a question that's kind of near and dear to our hearts. we are very progressive in terms of supporting these social issues that are emerging. But Resonate has always been about that idea of eliminating the negative stigma surrounding cannabis use, and ultimately about celebrating everyone's individual choice to practice or to live life in their way. And that's like the Resonate ways. It doesn't resonate with you, resonate with us. Like so for us, you know, in the campaign of the Black Lives Matter, it's all about, you know, supporting those that find that there's a better way of doing things. For us, it's not a change. It's been continuous from day one. We were very happy to see that some of our customers, some of our patients attended many of the rallies. They wore Resonate gear and, you know, they were supportive of the cause. And again, that to me was just a testament of, it's not just what we're saying. It's not what I'm putting out. Like, you'll see it. It's in our Instagram. It's in our social media posts. Like, we're walking the walk. So we're very supportive of these causes. And our position is not to necessarily push one way or the other. But it's more of a, hey, let's listen, let's celebrate, let's find that common ground.
I'm curious, something that Ian alluded to a minute ago, and that between the pandemic and the shutdowns and the economic anxiety over the last 3 to 4 months and the social upheaval that we're seeing day in and day out across the country and locally as well, have you seen a rise in the number of medical patients, people that are newly qualified medical patients coming in because that are dealing with higher levels of stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, et cetera?
We have. It certainly has increased. For some, that may have heightened. I mean, anxiety has definitely been a central focus point for many patients coming in the door. We hear that very often. I mean, we're still seeing many debilitating conditions, but I think that it would be fair to say that we have seen an increased amount of consumption even amongst, you know, patients during this time. As you very well know, I mean, this is a journey. You know, when patients come to see us for cannabis use, it's not a, hey, you're going to come in one time and here's a miracle. We have this great flower and it's going to fix all your problems. No, many times it's not the case. Many times it's an education to get these new patients and existing patients to come in and say, hey, you know, take this ride with us. We're going to experiment. We're going to follow this thing with you. We want to hear what's going on. Don't just come in and leave us behind. You know, we want to see you get to that desired outcome. So yeah, we've seen the spike, we've seen the increased usage, and that's kind of how we've handled it.
What should we expect Friday when you open for adult use? What are there any surprises for customers that haven't been in the store yet because it's only been medical up till Friday? Any surprises in store for them?
First, it's a bit of a challenge in today's world with COVID, but also with the regulatory environment to stage many things because as everyone knows, we have a 3-day commencement to when we can operate. So you don't know when you're going to receive that commencement letter, but when you have it, you have 3 days to open. So full disclosure, we're actually open today. But on Friday, we do feel that it's time to open the doors a little bit. And we do have some neat giveaways that we're looking to do. And we're looking to celebrate the July 10th cannabis holiday. We have some medical patients, some discounts and some campaigns that we're looking to offer. That are both Resonate branded items and partner, you know, related items. So we're pretty excited about it. And we're hoping that as the state continues to unfold, that now you're going to start to see Resonate emerge a little bit more. But again, we want to temper that based upon reopening and again, doing the right thing.
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. It's great to see an update. I'm overall very positive because, you know, it's nice to see people move forward. Best of luck from us. And obviously, we'll catch up with you again and see how everything's going. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a great day, all.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for being on. And everyone, go visit Resonate this weekend on Millbury Street in Worcester.
please come see us.
Well, that was a pretty good interview, and I think it was. I'm happy for him. I'm glad to see that that's working for him. Mm-hmm. But you know, on the other side of it, let's check in with Deb Colometta, who our good friend who wrote this wonderful book about best offer, best life, and she's been on an incredible journey too. Because basically, right after we talked to her, the book got published, and then all of a sudden, this all happened. It's going to be interesting to see how this affected her business and see some of the challenges she's gone through.
For sure. It makes me wonder, are we not going to see any yard sales this summer? You know, people are going to be afraid to put their stuff out. But if you've been home and looking at the pile of junk in your attic, your garage, your extra bedroom, whatever, the basement, whatever it is, and going, how am I going to get rid of this stuff? The answer is in Deb's book.
It's so good to see your face, Deb. It has been a while since we've seen each other. But we have been paying attention to, you know, how your business has really grown despite COVID. And we wanted to catch up with you and just hear what has your experience, you know, from March till now been like?
Well, it's great to be back. Thank you again for having me. I can't even begin to describe how busy it's been with business. So I do virtual consulting and video conference consulting, but I also wrote the book Best Offer, Best Life. And it is a quick start guide to getting started on online yard sales. And one thing that people have been doing through quarantine is that they've been taking the time to either mindfully purge their house, or they find themselves kind of stuck in their house and tripping over their stuff and feel like now is a good time to address it. You almost can't avoid it because you are now forced to look at it more often. And yes, things are opening up a little bit as the phases roll out, but still we're all spending a lot more time at home, a lot more time in our backyards, if we have a yard, or maybe outside. So now is the time people are really re-examining their stuff and, as a result, their lives. So one thing that I've noticed is that the online yard sales have never been more active. I see new posts all the time. People are trying to shuffle things around, free cycle, sell things, and I'm happy to help them do that. And one of the reasons why people, I think why the online yard sales have become even more popular is because it's very difficult to find items. You know, not only do I like it as an environmental approach to not creating a bigger carbon footprint, but you literally can't get some things online. You know, whether it's sporting equipment in the stores for your kids as the sports start to open up again, or different kitchen items, or maybe you're just being more mindful of your budget. Those are just a few of the reasons why the online yard sales have become so popular. And I love that people are taking this time to try them.
I want to mention another really important component of who you are, which is that you built your own home studio and you are now interacting. You are online and you are virtual. You're not a virtual assistant. You really are virtually you. And you're connecting with a lot of people. In a weird way, this virtual connection has allowed you to go across the country and you know, speak and do all these things. Let's take a quick sidebar here and just talk about building a home studio and how this is like the new office for your business.
It's been great for me. Obviously, there are so many downfalls, and I totally feel for anyone who's suffering through the effects of both COVID and the economic downturn. But for my situation, in some ways, it's just been a pivot. So we've been, you know, having some things that we've been going through, but the ability to just kind of change tracks quickly has really helped me grow my business, so much so that I'm trying to help other small businesses get on track with their video conferencing and making it so that they can see this as an opportunity in a way. So that's been very important to me. I've been trying to help pro bono a lot of female-owned small businesses so that they can see that this is really a chance to reset not only our lives, but our business model, and to make us more resilient going forward as we move out of quarantine. Another thing about the virtual and video conferencing is that, in my opinion, it really levels the playing field. I mean, you've got a lot of talented parents out there who maybe have to take a step back from their career to raise the kids or do games, pickups, and you know, trying to get to soccer practice and attend that meeting. And it's a double-edged sword, because being in a virtual world right now, we're kind of able to do both. But on the flip side, we're expected to do both. So that makes it even more challenging. You know, gee, why can't you bring the kid to a 3:30 practice at 3:30 in the middle of the week if you're working at home? Or why can't you join a meeting at 7:30? I know you're home. So it can be, you know, a mixed thing, but it's a great way to try this as a new forum, virtual communication. And it's, I think, been helping people to grow their business in a way they maybe didn't expect.
I agree when you use the word opportunity. And it is a double-edged sword for sure, because people know that you're home and you're able to, you know, for example, your example of being available at 7:30 in the morning. But it has been really interesting to see these female-owned businesses being able to participate and to meet some challenges in a way that they weren't before. They, you know, when they had to get childcare, when, you know, childcare just, you know, it was whether or not they could get a babysitter to attend this meeting. And now you don't need the babysitter necessarily, because people are more accepting of the fact that you have children running around in the background. We have learned that firsthand through Business
Beat.
Right,
Business Beat, right on the show. Yeah. Paloma and Sabine
are actually big parts of it. And you know, we get you know, messages now, like, where's Sabine? If she's like, for example, she's
or Gozer, who is now sitting on the behind us over here asleep. Yeah. We had to interrupt the show earlier because he needed a blanket. Yeah. So people's lives have sort of creeped into their work. And as you said, double-edged sword. David, double-edged sword for you?
Yeah, you know, for years we've talked about work-life balance and trying to find this mythical 50-50 split between our home lives and our and personal lives and our business lives, which it was a myth to begin with. But now it's become so much more integrated because we are home all the time. And we find it, for me at least, I find it easier to transition from a personal activity to a work activity and kind of go in and out. I left my house yesterday at 5 to go to the gym. My gym's now open this week. I went to class and came back and was home at 6:45. And went back to work for another hour because I had some stuff I had to get done. You just sort of adapt to that reality. There are times that we all have done. You get up in the morning, there's an email that needs an urgent response at 7 in the morning. And you respond and then go walk the dog and enjoy the morning. And I'm wondering, I don't mean to change the subject, but I'm thinking about the virtual yard sales. And at some point, there's got to be a physical transaction of, if I'm buying, I know for as an example that exercise equipment has been really hard to come by. Everything's backordered. You can't find weights. You can't find kettlebells, any cardio stuff. So people are reselling stuff, but how do you ensure, are people being more cautious of wiping everything down before they put it out for someone to come pick up, and the person picking it up is then wiping it down and sanitizing it, leaving it home outside for 3 days and making sure that it's clean before they bring it in the house? You know, are you seeing any anecdotal evidence of that, at least of people kind of taking those extra steps of precaution when they're exchanging items and money?
Yes. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's very important. And as a germaphobe in general myself, I like to take these precautions anyway. I didn't need quarantine to get me to this point, but I give a couple of pieces of advice, a three-step or three options for people who want to do the no contact selling. And all of this is based on your comfort level. So if you are in full quarantine and you're not even leaving your house, you might not want to be engaging in the online yard sales. But for the most part, there is that happy medium. So a couple of things you can do that apply to anybody who wants to try the online yard sales. You could try mailing it. So if you want to sell an item that is smaller in size, but maybe higher in value, now might be the time to think about trying an Amazon or an eBay. So you could mail it, you could do that porch pickup, or you're not off the hook if you are not interacting with anyone, prepare the item ahead and wait till all this blows over. And find an area in your house, not too big, because you don't want to be tripping over your stuff in a new manner, but put it off to the side, out of your main living space, in a closet or something, and prepare the item for sale, clean it up, write the ad, take the pictures, and tuck it away until you do feel comfortable.
I think time, what you're saying to me right there is people's time management has to be at a higher level than it was before. Before, you could go shop whenever you wanted. Before, you could just run to the store if you needed something at the last minute. Before, you could do something on the weekend or maybe at night. Now, you really do need to think about your time. In some ways, we have more time than we have ever had before. And I think in some ways, people are wasting time like they've never wasted time before. So I like this thought. I mean, if you've got the time right now to package this up and make it go, invest it and think about the time as the dollar, instead of think of time as something you need to wade through.
Absolutely. And this is something we talked about when we last got together, is that you just have to start with something. Just pick an item and start the outward flow out of your house. But I feel like when I get this movement and I shake up my surroundings a little bit, it's like I have an energy shift and I get new ideas for my business. I see things in a new way. I'm able to come up with new ideas. Things that have just been sitting in one spot in my house, unused, if I pick it up and move it and commit to selling it or free cycling it, giving it away, I find that it just inspires me in a different way. So it's almost like I'm getting unstuck because I'm shifting the things around me. And that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to in quarantine. Where did the time go? I mean, in some cases, the days felt so long. And in other ways, I can't believe we've been in this for so many weeks. So if you're in a place in your life where you feel like, oh, I'm stuck, I've got to move forward, I have ideas, but I don't know what to do, just get some movement, shake off that inertia and start getting things out of your house. It feels great. And you feel like, you know, you lost 10 pounds because maybe the toys did weigh 10 pounds. So you seriously did get rid of 10 pounds.
I love everything you're saying, and I couldn't agree more. Ian and I have, we've been doing a little bit of that in our own home.
A lot of that
in our own home. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's every time you move something around, you feel freer. It's you literally have more space to move, and figuratively and literally. But I wondered, as you know, as the weeks in the early days, you know, as it started and we were all sheltering at home, I wondered, did you see a pickup of people reaching out to you? Places like Goodwill were closed all of a sudden. Other little places where people are used to being able to donate things, you know, you drive up and you can't, you know, yeah, Savers is closed. So can you talk to me a little bit about how that affected your business?
A lot of people reached out to me, whether through my website, thedebsite.com, or they DM'd me through Facebook if we had had a sale in the past, and asked me what can they do with their things. And just because we're in quarantine doesn't mean that the needs go away. There are people who are in foster care, kids who are in foster care, there are homeless shelters. So you have to reach out to those places directly. But again, get the things ready so that when they are accepting donations, you'll be in the queue, so to speak. I still have not gone grocery shopping. I let my husband do that because he wants to get out of the house anyway, so it kind of works out well. But I really take that seriously. But I feel like my chances are better going to a place where I'm only exposing myself to one other household's germs. I don't know, maybe it makes no scientific sense, but I'd rather do a porch pickup with a mask and gloves than spend an hour wandering around a big box store, buying something new and buying many other things that I don't need. So it's like a controlled spending, because when I walk around a big box store, I'm in there, I might as well fill up my cart if it's going to be my one trip for the week or the month. But if I have to be targeted and specific about what I'm picking up at someone else's home, then that helps me curb my spending a little bit too. So you just have to balance it and do what works for you.
That's a great point. I'm going to include this chart in this week's show, which was coronavirus risk by activity. And going to the grocery store on a scale of 1 to 9 is a level 3 coronavirus risks because of what's going on. But it's listed all these things from 1 to 9. And it's something that we all need to be aware of. And trying to keep your activity on the lower side of it means you're limiting your exposure. Heads up, this is going to be like this for potentially years. And if you don't learn how to deal with the coronavirus right now, you're going to be in a much more difficult situation in 6 months, and God help us, a year going into this stuff. So having you on has been really wonderful to see. I'm really happy that it's worked out well for you. Thank you for sharing your tips. And we're obviously going to have to check up again with you, Deb. I'm sure we can catch you on any number of national broadcasts now. You've been on Sirius XM. You've been doing TV shows. So I'm really psyched that you started your outreach through WICN and Business Beat.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody, for watching Business Beat. Thanks to our guests, Deb and Peter, today. It was nice to catch up with people. It gives me a little sense of confidence and gives me a little encouragement that we're going to move forward. Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially our two guests, it was really interesting to hear how they were just able to pivot their businesses and make it work for their current conditions. And I think that's what everybody needs to start thinking about, or, you know, not start thinking about, but really start embracing as the way forward.
Well, thank you, David. Thank you, WICN. Thank you, Studio 50. Thank you, Aaron. And thank you to our viewers for watching and listening to Business Beat. We'll see you guys all again next week.